a new head coach and boy genius Mike McDaniel, the fastest cheetah to ever roam the football field, and an actual left tackle? Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up. Before we jump into a fresh episode of Finsider Radio, Jake and Josh want you to please, please, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't yet. Subscribing to the show is the best way to know when Jake and Josh have something cooking in the kitchen. iTunes, Spotify, it doesn't matter. Following helps others find the show, and we want to thank you for that. Now, let's talk some Dolphins. What is going on? Welcome in. This is Finsider Radio after a Miami Dolphins game day. Thank you all so much for joining us. This is the Jake and Josh Show. We're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins winning a football game. But before I do that, I cannot go a second longer without introducing my co-host, Joshua Houts. Josh, you had to go Han Solo this week, and I just need you to warn. I need to warn you a little bit. You now have Chewbacca back yelling in your ear. But outside of that, how you doing today?
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I could not be happier that you were back on here doing this. I snuck in the basement, did that thing late at night. And I mean, it was pretty bad. But dude, I'm stoked to be able to talk Dolphins football, stoked to be able to run things down with you. But I do have to give a shout out. Today is my middle daughter, Aria's birthday. So happy birthday, Aria. Daddy loves you. She's three today. So pretty good day at the Houts' house. And again, now that I got you back in my life, I'm doing good. How have you been?
Dude, we have some synergy going because today's birthday number 28 for me. I'm the only idiot in the world who
how do I forget that every year? How? I didn't even happy birthday, Jake. I'm sorry. Happy birthday. Jeez.
I didn't wish your dementia. Daughter. I got dementia, apologize. Dude. we were joking about it. You know, during this podcast, you have to go and take care of kids at time to time. And I like to joke that, you know, before we know it, you're gonna be running 20 yards faster than Tyreek Hill. So I certainly don't blame you, but like I said, I was the only idiot dumb enough to take a couple days off for his birthday and then just to return home and work on his birthday. So, I mean, figure that one out.
Yeah, you definitely should have took today off. Then we could have maybe done this a little bit sooner, but then we would have missed the news. You know, the Dolphins signed a corner. But before we get into all that, Jake, do you want to shout out who won the Madden game? Because I was definitely saving that for you because you kind of spearheaded that entire thing.
Yeah, shout out Nico G. We're going to leave it at that for winning Madden. He's getting a copy of Madden on the PS5. And dude, I don't know what's going on. You Google the release date. It's August 15th. Amazon's telling me he's not going to receive that till like August 19th because the game doesn't come out till the 19th. What is up with video games and just not being able to just have a release date?
Well, nowadays they make you buy like the Legendary or the Hall of Fame edition to get it 3 days early. I think that's honestly what happened with Madden. So I think it officially releases tomorrow. Maybe there's a trial up now that you can play, but that's only if you, again, paid the extra money to get that. So we're not making that much money on this podcast, right, Jake?
I was going to say, man, I mean, from the comments we got, I know, you know, people wanted to win Madden, but man, I wish I could give everyone a copy of Madden because, you know, we do appreciate it. We do this, you know, to kind of talk back and forth between us, but, you know, to hear that other people welcome us into, you know, their place of work, their home to chat with us and listen to us rant about nonsense as Han Solo and Chewbacca. I mean, it feels pretty special.
So yeah, Jake, I mentioned at the top of the podcast, the Dolphins signed a cornerback. Unfortunately, it sounds like Trill Williams is out for the season. And after the promising training camp, the practice he's had, I mean, that's absolutely a dagger. But I got this article up on the Finsider, and they were meeting with Mackenzie Alexander, a veteran, Riley Texeda, a rookie. And as soon as I hit submit on that, man, the news broke. David Cantor said that his client, Mackenzie Alexander, the 28-year-old cornerback, played for Clemson, signed with the Minnesota Vikings in the second round. I think it was a 50th overall pick, is now officially part of the Miami Dolphins. He was the cornerback they brought in to kind of relieve some of those duties. Cause I don't know about you, man, but when you're looking at the secondary, that was a area position that I felt really good about, but you know, there's some uncertainty with Byron Jones. Now Trill Williams is out. No Igbinoghene, looks lost as all can be. So they brought in Mackenzie Alexander, kind of more of a slot corner, but I think, you know, when you look at what the Dolphins needed, he's going to fit right in, and he does have some experience. So I like this player pre-draft. I actually wrote an article back in 2016. That's how old I am. But I mean, this guy was impressive throughout most of his career. I do think he took a hit last season with the Bengals, but pretty good signing, combined for 193 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 32 breakups, and 3 interceptions in his career. So give me your thoughts on it, Jake. We really didn't have much time to discuss this, but an added veteran, a presence in that cornerback room. I hate that Trill Williams is gone. out for the year most likely, but it does sound like Mackenzie Alexander is going to come in and fill that role.
I don't know about you, Josh, but the thing that popped up to me, I mean, it's so hard to look at a defensive player and, you know, thumb through some stats and think, hey, I'm going to figure out anything. But what caught me off guard, his games played compared to starts is a little unorthodox. I feel like he only started a handful of games compared to the amount of games he played in, but that kind of screams to the depth signing he will be. I don't think anyone's expecting him to come in and be a starter and push any of those top three guys, but man, you have these veterans coming in, and you think back to 2019, the Dolphins are bringing in acorns. You mentioned Jeff Ireland's acorns in the last podcast. It's a little refreshing to have these, you know, solidifying depth pieces. I mean, Justin Coleman is another one I think of last year, the same scenario. He wasn't great, but you were kind of comfortable with what he can do, what he can bring to the table. And I kind of see Alexander the same way, just someone who you're going to be able to plug in. Obviously, you know, there's going to be a step off if you're, you know, trying to replace Byron Jones or Xavier Howard. But as in terms of just having someone who isn't going to ruin the game with you by letting Tyreek Hill streak down the middle of the field for an easy touchdown, man, I'm content with it, even though I was very excited to see what Trill Williams was doing. And that ACL injury, man, that's definitely tough to see. And I think that's really the first one, going to knock on wood to stop the curse here, that is the first injury the Dolphins have really dealt with this preseason.
Yeah, definitely knock on wood. I mean, every time I see one of those prayer circles on Twitter, you know, I try to retweet it because as soon as my eyes, you know, see it, I just think if I don't do it, dude, something bad's going to happen. So it absolutely sucks for Trill Williams. I do like that Mike McDaniel basically said, you know, all this is a setback. You know, we saw the promise in him. We saw, you know, how he wasn't happy with where he was on the depth chart, and he went out there and performed. So it does suck. One more thing about Mackenzie Alexander. I pulled up Ryan Smith from Pro Football Focus. He said the good. Great Alexander work. Has been productive at the NFL level, most notably the 2018 season, when a 78.1 overall grade ranked 16th among 112 qualifying quarterbacks. The bad news, his 41 overall grade last season ranked dead last, 116th among all qualifying cornerbacks. So he did go on to say he had three straight strong coverage seasons from 2018 to 2020, allowing only three touchdowns and over 1,137 coverage snaps. But then last season, again, it all fell off. So a promising player. I think pre-draft, a lot of people thought he might have went in the first round. Again, sticky hands, good in coverage, mostly played a lot in the slot, but again, I think the Dolphins will use him wherever they need to. And I did talk about Byron Jones. I do need to say Mike McDaniel does seem optimistic that he will be ready by week one, but being the doom and gloom Dolphins fan I am, I just have to throw out there, what if he's not there? So small signing on a random Monday, but we needed to happen after we lost a promising young player in Trill Williams.
And man, that's the perfect segue. Let's get into it. The Bucs missed a 49-yard field goal as time expires as the Dolphins won in Tampa Bay, 26-24. The Dolphins scored two touchdowns in the second quarter. Otherwise, Joshua, they leveraged four fist pump field goals, baby. And I'm only joking about that a little bit because first and foremost, I just want to say it is so refreshing to see Jason Sanders not only be back, but he is absolutely back. One, it's an even year. Two, he was 4-for-4 with a log of 53. Compare that to last year. He was 2-of-6. And it was definitely I did not see you put this note in here. But go into it. It was definitely Michael Plardy's fault that Sanders was stinking last year.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of went spin zone thinking that maybe it was Plardy's fault. I know Jason Sarney on Twitter, I think he did a whole thread on why it might have been Plardy's fault, you know, before this season. But it was nice to see Jason Sanders back. And I think we did a podcast asking if he was going to be that money sign. And dude, he was absolutely money. And I got a little bit of a, you know, I think Tony Sperano was smiling down on that game because he had to have loved all those field goal attempts. And again, Jason Sanders was nails. And speaking of nails, I mean, I don't know about you, Jake, but everyone kind of assumed Teddy Bridgewater would get the start, maybe play a series. It sounded like he had a back issue in camp. And, you know, they wanted to take precautionary measures here. So they let Skylar Thompson start. And I don't know, man, I was kind of down on him in our previous podcast. And I'm not going to, you know, say he's the next great thing, but I mean, he did look pretty impressive and in control of that offense. And maybe it's because he's a 25-year-old rookie, right? But you know, he had the most yards in a preseason game by a Dolphins rookie since, and I love this, the Miami Dolphins put at least 1991. Like, they just gave up even looking after that. So a lot of people corrected me. Yeah, well, he played the entire game, I guess so. But 20 of 28, 218 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I don't want people to throw tomatoes at me, but if you look at Tua's game log, I mean, that's probably pretty similar to some of those games he's had, correct? So I liked what I saw. To me, looked like he had command of that offense. I know Mike McDaniel said early on, you know, there was some concerns, communication issues, but he he looked pretty good. He made some big plays, but I think the biggest takeaway from all this was that offense just looked awesome, man. I mean, some of those receivers, the way they were schemed open. I mean, I can only imagine how it looks with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, you get goosebumps thinking about it. But overall, Skylar Thompson, a guy, again, who I was kind of down on, I guess, in this draft class, I was pretty impressed. And I think, you know, we do have to ask the question, if he keeps this up and, you know, Teddy kind of continues to flounder, you know, doesn't really maybe do anything this preseason, could the Dolphins possibly move on from him? I mean, that's a question that I guess, could the Dolphins possibly, you know, maybe trade Teddy Bridgewater and keep Skylar Thompson on the 53 man roster? I mean, that's something that sounds crazy saying it out loud. So I don't know, Jake, but overall Skylar Thompson looked pretty good to me.
Seventh round pick, man, rookie comes in and does enough. You know, you think about these preseason games. And when I look at the quarterback play, I mean, the 218 yards, the most by a rookie since 1991, that just kind of puts into perspective, man, when you're watching these preseason games, most of the quarterbacks are like Tina Belcher learning how to drive, where Bob's in the passenger seat just yelling, Tina, turn the wheel, Tina, turn the wheel, as they just slowly run into a stoplight right in front of them. But Skylar Thompson, man, he kept the game moving. He kept the offense moving. And that was fun to see. And man, I'm happy you let me ask you it, because I have no answer for this. Only two drives started without a play action pass, Josh, in that game, which I think is such an interesting wrinkle. And we're going to dig into the weeds of this in a second. But do you happen to know what happened on the two drives that didn't start with the play action pass?
The one was before the half when they actually took a knee, or they were pretty much running the clock out. I think they might have ran the ball. And then another was with the back against the end zone. And believe it or not, he did not come out and throw the double smoke screen, you know, like you saw last year. So those were the only two. I mean, I counted that. That is a Hout stat. So if it's wrong, you can blame me. But I definitely thought it was interesting. And I think, I forget who said it, but a lot of 10-man boxes, you know, the way the Tampa was stacking the line. I mean, that's the perfect way to remedy that, right? Come out and play action on first down when everyone in the stadium and the defense clearly thinks you're running the football. So I mean, it was pretty cool to see, honestly. I mean, they were getting chunk plays after chunk plays on first down, and we just know how important that is. So loved what I saw to Mike McDaniel's offense. But again, it was preseason, probably, you know, bare bones, but it did look pretty good. And another guy, Jake, that looked pretty good, a guy that I've been pretty stoked on, kind of spearheaded that
bandwagon. Name a guy that you haven't been stoked on, Josh. Come on.
Yeah, I said stoked like 16 times in that last podcast.
You were stoked.
But Lynn Bowden Jr., man, I mean, he went out there and balled 3 of 4 for 55 yards and a touchdown. I did a breakup on Twitter, but I thought, you know, might keep him around. I mean, you have here, is he doing this for the Dolphins or someone else? I mean, I kind of feel like he's doing it to increase his trade value, but if he shows that he is, you know, a return man, a guy that can return kicks and punts, I mean, that's kind of how he might end up sticking in. I think what I saw was Lynn Bowden. You kind of knew he was already a talented receiver. You kind of liked where he was as far as an NFL pro, but I think, you know, maybe that's why he had a lot of success out there too. I mean, it's Lynn Bowden. I mean, I think he's a fringe starter going against, you know, second, third stringers. I mean, he made them look silly, but again, a lot of that was the way that offense was designed. I mean, I think the Dolphins got a turnover at one point, and instead of running the ball, you know, milking it, they came right out, stop and go right to Lynn Bowden, wide open in the end zone. So inject that into my veins all day.
I think the cool thing about this is when we're talking chunk plays, and we've been, you know, kind of diagnosing this Dolphins offense is like, okay, you need to get 4 yards on first down. And if you get stopped on a 1 yard run, that 3rd and 5, it's manageable, but not, you know, great. And you're trying to just tick and tack all the way to 10 yards. When we're talking chunk plays in this offense, Josh, Lynn Bowden averaged 18 yards of reception. I mean, he was getting open in the middle of the field, you know, really taking advantage of that area behind the linebackers for the safeties. And I was surprised how open he was, both on the touchdown, and I think it was must have been another play action pass down the right side. And you mentioned him returning a punt and a kickoff. I think that is going to be so key, and I think that's his track to, you know, making this team. You know, I think that was kind of really fun to see from him. I think he showed that he can line up in different ways and help this team in different ways as well. So I could see him start fighting his way up. But I mean, man, if you play these guys, you're doing it to raise their trade value, and that's what they're doing. But on that same coin, man, Preston Williams, he didn't even get a target. And to make matters a little worse, he had 2 punt returns, 6.5 yards per. Man, it just seems like nothing was really clicking for Williams. I think he might have it just seemed like he wasn't involved with the plays. The Dolphins weren't making a point to kind of get him the ball. I mean, Braylon Sanders had a couple targets. Everybody else on this team had a couple. It seemed like Preston Williams was not a factor.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe a week ago we might have thought Preston Williams might have had more trade value, I guess, to an extent, maybe, than Lynn Bowden. At least that's, I guess, what the internet was saying. I think we said someone mentioned the Cowboys should trade a second round pick for Preston Williams. So maybe that's maybe that's all I'm going based off of. But I think he's more likely on his way out. I mean, again, his attitude this offseason. And if you're sitting there trying to decide on Lynn Bowden or Preston Williams, I mean, I'd much rather keep Lynn Bowden, but I guess that would say, you know, maybe his trade value is higher. So
right.
I think we'll see how this pans out over the next few weeks. You mentioned Braylon Sanders. I thought he was the guy that, you know, everyone's been raving about throughout camp. I didn't really see him flash as much as you would have had hoped. I mean, Trent Sherfield had that 33-yard reception. Just looked like broken. It would look like a perfect route where he just kind of sat underneath it. And then again, Lynn Bowden, man, he just kept continuing to make plays after play. And you have here Mohamed Sanu, 26-yard reception, caught
Talk
three
about
of three
surprise.
Targets. Yeah. And I don't know if you got to watch any of the pressers, but listening to him at the end of the game, I mean, he is Mike McDaniel to a T, you know, talking about stacking days and saying all the right things. I mean, you can see why he's here to be that veteran presence, but when he's catching three of three targets for 39 yards, I mean, is it possible that he takes up a roster spot? I mean, you factor in his age, you factor in his familiarity with the system. He's almost like an extra coach out there. I mean, I don't know if the Dolphins would keep him and Trent Sherfield, and I do believe they will keep Trent Sherfield at this point. But I was kind of surprised by what I saw out of Mohamed Sanu. What about you, Jake?
Dude, I couldn't agree with you more. I was a little caught off guard. He must have been playing against fourth and fifth stringers at the point of the game. I mean, he was like a second half guy, if I remember. Am I correct there?
I think you were, because I know when I was watching him out there, I was like, I wonder what it feels like being, because Mohamed Sanu was just,
you're twice as old as everyone else on the field. Yeah.
And you're an experienced veteran. I mean, and I guess that's just part of the NFL, right? Just being a pro's pro and going out there and doing whatever exactly. You have to do. But yeah, man, he was in that game pretty late, and I was a little surprised. Mohamed Sanu's out there in preseason. What the hell's he had to prove?
Exactly. But he, you know, catching all three of his balls, I mean, it goes with the process, man, of just doing everything right, being where the team needs you to be. And that's kind of why we thought he'd be that, you know, maybe sneaky pick for that final wide receiver spot, just because, I mean, you said it, he sounds like Mike McDaniel. He works in this offense. He looked very comfortable. And, you know, he's obviously not going to be playing against fourth and fifth stringers all the time, but what the Dolphins need from him is just to be able to catch a ball when it's thrown to him. Right. And kind of understand that offense and get into the right spot, right? He doesn't have to come out here and be Tyreek Hill and make his own plays. He just has to kind of be a part of the system, and he did that well. Dude, when I'm looking at these receptions, Sherfield, 33 yards, Bowden, 29, Sanu, 26, those were created by Mike McDaniel's offense. I cannot wait to see what this is going to look like when it's Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, guys who can make their own plays, because these are all designed to give you open space. What happens when you don't need to design that, man? This has been such a fun offense. I mean, Mike McDaniel on the sideline, I don't even know if it was a taunt, but he was like shadowing a Bucs player who's going out of bounds. I don't know what was happening there. It was just a fun experience as a Dolphins fan to kind of just enjoy this game. I mean, obviously you want your team to play well. You want everyone to be a star. But in the grand scheme of things, you saw an offense that was pretty interesting. And, you know, as things stay the same. Our running backs couldn't do a thing.
No, I think there was one point in the game where they had like -3 yards after the first quarter or something like that. And I was thinking, where's Ryan Fitzpatrick at to lead this offense in rushing, right? But all jokes aside, I mean, it's kind of Sony Michel, I think, two runs, -1 yard you have here. Then Miles Gaskin had the 4 carries for 27 yards. He did have that one big run where it looked like the entire left side kind of opened up and he just hit that hole. So coming into this podcast or coming into that game, you know, in the previous podcast, I said I was kind of leaning Salvin Ahmed over Miles Gaskin. Now I'm probably flip-flopping, I guess. Miles Gaskin made that one good play, but we need to see more out of this running back unit. And again, we know how important it is for that Mike McDaniel offense, but when you don't have Raheem Mostert out there, when you don't have Mostert,
I'm the beat.
Okay. Yeah. So if you don't have Raheem Mostert out there, you know, Chase Edmonds, it's kind of what you'd expect, but I thought I'd see more out of Sony Michel. So that was a little surprising. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, is he battling for a spot? I mean, I kind of talked myself into that in that last pod. So what was your overall thoughts, Jake? Because again, not the starters weren't in there and that offensive line was still missing some key pieces as well.
Yeah, I was a little caught off guard with the offensive line they brought out there. I thought for sure Robert Hunt would be among those resting. And hey, look at Michael Dieter. I mean, 4 days after he got out of a boot, he's out there starting for the Dolphins. And you were hoping to see some flashes of brilliance from this unit. I mean, especially, you know, you say, hey, you know, these are second and maybe third string guys, but they're going against, you know, second and third string guys. That Bucks defense was stacking the box and trying to make things difficult. So that might've been a part of it, but man, take me through your thoughts. We have Larnell Coleman, Eichenberg started, Dieter, Robert Hunt, and Austin Jackson. What'd you see out of this group? Because I mean, you skim through the Pro Football Focus grades and hey, Solomon Kidley Cheeks, he had a pass block grade of 85.5, but man, if you go through that list, every single run blocking grade is brutal.
Yeah, brutal. But at least, I don't know if you saw it, Jesse Davis, I saw it retweeted on my timeline, had like a 4.7 grade from yesterday's game. So at least then we don't have to deal with that anymore. But I mean, I saw growth, right? You saw development, at least some of these guys. And I guess that's kind of why so many people are excited. I think the starters only played 13 snaps. You mentioned Dieter. At one point, he looked like he was flopping around like a Magikarp. It was a screen play or something. He was just, he looked like he was doing the worm. But overall, I thought, you know, this offensive line looked improved. Can't imagine how awesome it's going to look, you know, when you have Teron Armstead in there. Hopefully, Connor Williams fixes snap issues. I was a little surprised by Robert Hunt, though, Jake, that he was out there, because I do think he was kind of that anchor, or I don't want to say star, but he's kind of
it
that,
makes sense, though. Anchor, it feels right.
Yeah, and you just wonder how much of it was not having those guys out there to you know, see what the guys next to him could do. So, again, I saw a little bit of growth, and that's kind of what you'd expect, but definitely need to see more. Robert Jones, though, I think he might have been the guy that I want to say all week long, Omar Kelly was talking about he might be the best depth piece this offensive line has, and it definitely seemed that way. And I don't know if you saw him mic'd up, Jake, but it's pretty hilarious. I just saw that also a little time ago. Said that the water on game day is the best water he's ever tasted in his life.
Dude, I love that. That's, you know, we have the big fish and now we have Rob Jones who loves water. So, I mean, that's like win-win, and they're all Dolphins. So it's a win-win-win. Maybe they're all hang out at the River Crawcraft. Nice. But to pull it all back, I think we should give a shout out to Mike Gesicki, because man, I think it was the first play of the game and maybe two of the first five. I mean, there were pass plays and he was in there blocking. I think one play he got in the way of two people. I don't think you can block two people, but did enough to kind of give Skylar Thompson time. He was sacked three times for 25 yards, which, when you're thinking about how many guys are going in and out, that doesn't sound terrible, but man, Mike Gesicki, man, he's doing everything right. I can't help but root for him, and seeing what Chris Greer did with Xavier Howard in terms of, hey, like, trust us, we'll work this out and get you paid. I mean, he is someone who's continued to show up, and it doesn't look pretty, man, but he's doing it and it's worked. I mean, again, small sample size of the first preseason game, but I mean, he deserves some love for that.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a head scratcher. You know, some people thought maybe he'd be sitting as well, right? To see him out there, I mean, again, I guess it goes back to being a pro's pro. I think Mike McDaniel said he just wanted to get out there and kind of, you know, get a feel for what he's going to see on game day. So I like what you said there, Jake, and I have to wonder if, you know, their hand won't almost be forced. I mean, because you're looking at this tight end room and you were hoping Hunter Long did something. Was he a ghost? I don't know where Hunter Long was.
I think he high-fived Jason Sanders once. Okay. I think that's probably about it.
So that's why he's on the roster. Shaheen, I mean, they already tried to move Shaheen, and that failed. So, you know, when you look at this tight end group, obviously Mike Gesicki is a clear-cut, you know, TE1, but when no one else behind him is really stepping up, other than Tanner Connor, right? I mean, I think he showed some flash. He seems to be that guy that
little
can be
speed.
That, yeah, a little bit of every. Yeah, didn't he hit 20? Yeah, he did 20 miles per hour. I think there was a tweet from Next Gen that he hit. So this Dolphins offense is low speed. But back to your point with Mike Gesicki, hopefully they can find a way to make things work. But again, I think if he goes out there and does what we expect, he's going to want way too much money. I don't know where I want to go with that. Is there so much transition?
We can pause that right there and then start back up talking defense.
Okay. Yeah.
That's perfect.
I think we're doing good, right? We're doing good.
100%. And defense, we don't have to spend as long. We talked about the secondary a little bit. We can say we're kind of disappointed in Igbinoghi again if we want, because I mean, I actually kind of am. But yeah, just go in where you want and we'll wrap up talking some D.
Okay. And Jake, we talked about the offense in the first part. Let's shift our focus over to the defense, primarily the secondary. I mean, for me, outside of Xavier Howard and Nick Needham, I'm starting to feel a little bit Joe Philbin queasy. I mean, again, Byron Jones, no guarantees out there. And Noah Igbinoghi looked completely lost in this game. So I guess I want to get your thoughts on some of these guys. Was there not a – I wanted to call him Jeffrey Ross. I kept calling him Ross. I saw his last name was Ross, but he got beat a bunch of times throughout that game. And it just made me realize that, you know, the secondary that I once thought was godly and, you know, one of the best in the NFL outside of Xavier Howard, you know, a healthy Byron Jones, Nick Needham. I mean, you can see it starting to, you know, you can see a huge gap between there. So give me your thoughts on the secondary, what you saw out of them in Saturday's game?
There was a touchdown throw on an in route where Noah Igbinoghi was very loose behind the defender. And I'm already going to try to spin this because it seemed like he might have been bracketing the receiver with Brandon Jones, who kind of bit too far outside when he came back in for the touchdown. But man, it's a little, you want to just see the flashes. I mean, the bad plays are okay. You expect the bad plays. It's going to happen. You know, it's a do or die league, but we need to see some sort of do. And that just hasn't been the case from Noah Igbinoghi. Man, I got to ask you, Elijah Campbell, do you think if you were playing charades, even you could reenact that touchdown with no ball and nobody with you? Because that thing was that was an impressive interception, man. It was a prime preseason interception.
Yeah, kind of reminded me of the one that I think X had. Was it last year? I can't remember, but he kind of rolled on the ground. And that thing stuck to his butt.
It was against the Falcons last year, I think.
Yep, that was it. That was the one. Yeah, but I kind of rolled over. Calvin Ridley, I think. But anyway, that was an impressive interception. It's things like that. You know, you have, I think he had, what, two pass breakups?
Most on the team, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he had two pass breakups, had that great interception. I mean, there's a guy that, you know, again, unfortunately, Trill Williams is out. Noah Igbinoghi's not doing anything. That's a chance for Elijah Campbell to stick and prove his worth. So, I liked what we saw in the secondary, but I mean, there wasn't much, right? I mean, we didn't have Xavier Howard. Javon Holland wasn't in the lineup. They didn't even play Eric Rowe at all. So I think the secondary played pretty well. But what about your thoughts on the Dolphins' defensive front in front of them? You know, the front seven. I mean, I don't know about you, but you saw Sam McGuavin. He looked like he could not tackle anybody until he had that awesome scoop and fumble for the touchdown, scoop and score for the touchdown. Channing Tindall was all over the field at times. Got an 86.9 grade from Pro Football Focus. I did a cut up on there. I think one time he blew up a screenplay, you know, dude's flashing the speed all over the place. But the linebacking core still makes me feel a bit uncertain, especially when you look past this season. A lot of these guys are only on 1 year deals. And as of now, I mean, that is still the glaring hole in that Dolphins defense.
Yeah. Igbinoghi was, again, we're going to use it, the flopping around like a fish. He did have some missed tackles, and Darius Hodge forced that fumble that he returned. And fun fact, I think it was Travis Wingfield of the Miami Dolphins who said this, Igbinoghi has now scored in each of his last two games. There was a blocked punt against the Patriots in week 17 last year. So that's kind of cool, but that's kind of where we're at with him. He has those big plays where he's just right place, right time. But I don't know if we've really seen consistency at any point in Igbinoghi's career that we can really think that, hey, he's becoming a stabilizing force. Josh, I was watching the game on my phone while I was at Boston. Man, I don't know if it's just because I was on a small screen, but Benito Jones, he stood out like no other. He had five tackles, one for a loss. I mean, man, this defensive line is looking scary. And, you know, you're hoping the limited injuries in the secondary where we don't have to dig too deep into that depth. And the depth that the Dolphins have at that defensive line, you think of the trio of defensive tackles and Wilkins and Sealer and Raekwon Davis. But then Jalen Phillips isn't even a starter right now. It's Melvin Ingram who got that quote-unquote starter job on the depth chart. So, man, this is a loaded defensive line. And if Benito Jones can come in and be, hey, your fourth and fifth lineman, offensive lines aren't going to be able to deal with that where they can't get a breath against anyone.
Yeah, man, I don't know if I can credit the phone you watching it being as to why Benito Jones stood out, because I was watching a computer and, dude, he was everywhere. You mentioned the five tackles, one for a loss. Another guy that stood out, Ben Still. I think he's a rookie. Looked like a beast at times at five tackles, and I had to throw out C.K. Parrott, called him Baby Sealer. But you look at that Dolphins defensive line, man, and they are so stacked. And I think earlier in the year, did they not get rid of Adam Butler? There were some moves they made where you thought, Okay, well, who's next? John Jenkins, Jingleheimer, Schmidt, right? I think that was the only.
He didn't even look that great, I didn't think. Or you didn't like have those stickout plays that you'd expect from a rotational guy in, you know, a preseason game.
So, I mean, when you think about John Jenkins being that only depth piece, I mean, you need someone to step up, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, Darius Hodge had that, you know, stripped, forced that fumble. I think DeAndre Johnson had a sack. I mean, there were just players coming out of nowhere making plays. So I'm excited for that front four, three, well, you know, whatever, five. I think
depending on
five,
the mood.
I think there was a 5-1 bear that I think Kyle Krabs today were in. So this Dolphins defense is versatile. And preseason week one, I was going to get ready to say, you know, they picked up where they left off last year, but there's that's not the case because none of their stars were in here. But I do like what I see out of this, and I'm excited to see what Josh Boyer's defense can do. But they absolutely need to spend all week practicing because that was definitely a huge issue for me.
Hey, man, the tackling, that's something that hopefully comes with time. Obviously, you think about in training camp, you can't tackle as nearly as much as you used to. So, hey, that's it, man. Maybe Mike Gesicki, he gets in because you're not going to have those guys rushing around like maniacs in a practice. And I, again, Shout out him. I thought he did really well. But dude,
what did you think of him icing the kicker? I don't know if you talked about that at the beginning of the pod. I was running back and forth, but I that was pretty awesome.
See that?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, Mike McDaniel iced the kicker. It was his first time. He was waiting on the sideline. Perfect timing with the timeout. Kicker nailed the field goal, and it came back. He shankopotamused it. So
that was how the game ended. Sorry.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yep. And it's funny because the whole reason I wanted to bring it up is for whatever reason, I was watching the game wearing my Ricky Williams jersey, getting ready to kick that field goal. I turned that thing inside out. So that's going to be my new thing from now on, because that was a hell of a way for that game to end.
I need a picture of that. That sounds awesome, wearing the Ricky and set out. And dude, just goes back to it. McDaniel, man, it's been fun to have him on the sidelines. And above that, it has been so fun to have Dolphins football back. It is only week one of the preseason. They are no longer doing four games in the past. It is only three games. Hopefully, maybe a little little waddle next time. But hey, all we're really hoping for at this point is no injuries. But that will do it. That is all the time we have. Thank you all so much for letting us be part of your Monday, letting us be part of your Tuesday. Go out there, have a great day. And more importantly, above all else, fins up.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins.